This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Fan Early Morning Show. I'm Austin Bechtold with you. Happy Tuesday to you, July 25th, as we are officially 1 week away from the Major League Baseball trading deadline. Now, depending on how you look at it, August 1st can't come soon enough. The Pittsburgh Pirates are struggling. Bucks did win yesterday, 8-4 in San Diego, but 12 games under 500. Throughout his tenure with the club, before facing the Padres to start a three-game series on Monday, manager Derek Shelton is 185 and 298. In comparison to when people didn't think it could get any worse, John Russell from 2008 to 2010 was 186 and 299. Yeah, it's bad. A key talking point regarding a team continuously falling down the standings, this isn't necessarily who comes, but who goes. On Monday, MLB Network insider John Heyman reported that the Pirates will listen to offers surrounding two-time All-Star closer David Bednar. Now, nearly 6 hours later, Heyman stated the same rumor about the Pirates' other All-Star to earn a trip with Bednar to Seattle, Mitch Keller. Now, Bednar, a Pittsburgh native and Mars High School graduate, he's been one of the best closers in baseball the past two seasons and one of the best pitchers in the entire Pirates organization since being acquired in the Joe Musgrove trade 3 years ago. Keller turned from one of the worst to one of the best starters in baseball in just a calendar year. Heyman closed his tweets on Twitter, or X, whatever you'd like to refer it to as now, regarding Keller and Bednar by saying that it, quote, would seem like a pretty low probability to happen in either case, but in this seller's market, makes sense to listen. I'm okay with them listening just for the fact that you need to do your due diligence. You need to be able to just explore the market, see what's out there. And, I mean, it's just the economics of baseball. It's just the truth of sports, of just being able to see if someone decides to blow you away, you have to listen. It's when, in a similar way, not in the same light, it's a lot of different circumstances, but when Tampa Bay traded Chris Archer to the Pirates. Now, Chris Archer was likely going to get traded from the Rays, but the package that the Pirates gave up at the time, especially, of Tyler Glasnow, Austin Meadows, and Shane Baz, as Baz the player to be named later, what it looked like at the time, but the potential that Meadows had and before being traded from the Rays to Detroit, and Tyler Glasnow, the injuries that he suffered, but still, when he's on the mound, is a number one quality starting pitcher for Tampa Bay, and Shane Baz, who's also battled injuries. If a team blows you away, you have to seriously and strongly consider it. But it wouldn't make sense for the Pirates to leak this type of news, especially as the free fall continues. But rather, probable that a team or two that contacted the Bucks about the star pitchers just wanted to gauge the media market to see what could stick. Keller's 27. He's arbitration eligible for the next two seasons before becoming a free agent after the 2025 campaign. After his first complete game on May 8th against the Rockies, Keller told 93.7 The Fan, right around this time slot on the morning show, there have been discussions surrounding a long-term contract. Few other reports since have been consistent with Keller's original comments. And a significant extension for the former second-round pick seems like a solid possibility and that Keller wants to be here and wants to get a deal done. Keller pitched fantastic in April. A 2.90 ERA in 31 innings, spanning five starts. He posted an ERA of 3 in 6 May appearances. Now, his ERA has climbed every month, and it's sunk just into a negative direction. A likely correlation, too, with how the Pirates have played over 10 over the last numerous amount of games, and now 12 games under 500. Keller's June was still good at 3.56 is his ERA, but his July has been an absolute disaster after a solid May and an unbelievable April. His 3.25 ERA after May 31st has ballooned over 4.401 overall, thanks to a 7.04 mark in 4 July outings. Keller allowed 5 runs, 4 earned, 5 innings on the road against the Dodgers, was fantastic against the Arizona Diamondbacks in 7 innings, 1 hit action before the All-Star break. He did allow 1 solo home run in the All-Star game as well in 1 innings pitched, but he also has allowed 14 runs in his last 11 outings. The Cleveland Guardians lit up Keller for 8 runs on July 18th. They're not that good. That division is horrible. Cleveland was below 500 coming into that series, ended it at 500. The Angels scratched together 6 in 5 innings against the All-Star. In 21 starts, Keller owns a 120 whip, 137 strikeouts, and 128 innings. Now, Bednar is the Pirates' best pitcher by a mile. The results continue to indicate it. Yes, he doesn't start every 5 days. Yes, he can't throw in bulk 5 innings like Mitch Keller can, 6 innings, 7 innings. His 19 saves are also an indication of the Pirates' failure to get him the ball enough with the lead in the 9th inning. And you might ask, why do the Pirates need a closer with the capabilities of David Bednar if they can't get him the dang ball when it matters most in the 9th inning, even early on in the 8th inning to potentially get a 5-out for a 4-out save? Bednar totaled 8 saves in April. 8 total saves in April, a high number. A lot of those during the 20-8 mark, for earning only 1 in May and 6 in June. In 3 seasons with the Pirates, Bednar's numbers, I mean, they're just downright dominant. 2.08 ERA, 1.02 whip, 212 strikeouts compared to 51 walks and 168 and two-thirds innings. There was at one point this year where Bednar had as many intentional walks as he had walks entirely on 4 pitches in terms of just straight balls. In terms of David Bednar working counts and just not being able to finish off a hitter. There was at one point he had 1 walk total through like 2 months. Trading Bednar and or Keller, it just doesn't make sense with the Pirates if they truly believe that their window opens in 2024. Bednar, I would get it more so than Keller, but he also has another year of control under his belt. But it would make probable sense that they should believe that the Pirates can contend in 2024. The Pirates internally should believe it, considering the likes of Henry Davis, Nick Gonzalez, Andy Rodriguez, Clint Priester, and others are in Pittsburgh. Now, last night in the game, there were a numerous amount of firsts. Clint Priester, the Pirates' number 4 overall prospect, he allowed 7 runs in his major league debut a week ago to the Guardians at home. Priester gave up 4 runs in 5 1/3 innings against San Diego's star-studded lineup, 2 home runs against Ha-Seong Kim. One of those runs, when Priester came out of the game, he left the runner at first base. That runner came around to score. He's only 22, and he was not one of the only guys that recorded a first for the Buccos in terms of the rookies. Loyola Piguero crushed a ball in the top of the 4th inning with 2 outs off of Yu Darvish, a 2-run home run, 91 miles an hour off the bat, just over the left field wall at the beautiful Petco Park in San Diego to be able to help the Pirates continue to pad their lead and make it 5-1 against Darvish. And the lead continued to rapidly grow from 3-1 to 5-1. Also, Andy Rodriguez. He threw out his first base runner of his major league career, 82 miles an hour to second base, to get Ha-Seong Kim at the bag. Rodriguez is the number 3 prospect overall for the Pirates. Pop time of 1.81 seconds on the throw. And just for comparison, JT Realmuto is right at that time as well with the Phillies. Considered one of the best, if not the best catchers in all of baseball at 1-8-1. Quinn Priester said, "It's a blast. It really is. It's awesome to see. You can't help but get so excited. I'm in the dugout really trying to stay composed and stay focused, do my job at hand. But when Peggy hits a home run, Santana hits his second. Santana had two-run home runs on the night. It's electric stuff to be a part of. It's stuff that I've been seeing personally for the last few years. Guys just doing what they do." Now, back to Quinn Priester and David Bednar. One concerning aspect is the number of runs allowed later on in the season piled on to Keller's right arm. But also, overall for David Bednar, closers don't grow on trees, but are easier to replace than other positions on the diamond or in the bullpen. But Bednar is just a fascinating case. How much did his connection to Pittsburgh factor in? Well, from an emotional standpoint, obviously a lot. But from a baseball perspective, the right move needs to be made regardless. But regardless of what it is, you have to get it right. Would Bednar sign a team-friendly deal to stay in Pittsburgh? You don't have to worry about that until 2026, when he's a free agent after that season. But I think it's likely that if Bednar is still a quality pitcher, if he is still somebody who can be your closer, even though the shelf life of closers is pretty minimal, will it get to the point where the Pirates, if they're winning, a deal will become a more realistic possibility? Any hope for the future depends on a group of 22 to 24-year-olds that were AA a year ago. And those 22 to 24-year-olds, yes, those were the ones that helped the Pirates, alongside Carlos Santana, who doesn't really want to be dealt. He said when the Pirates debuted their City Connect uniforms, he hit the mammoth walk-off home run to win it, the big-time dance before home plate, that he does not want to go anywhere. But if this group is to take a significant step forward in the back half of 2023, similar to what we saw last night, the Pirates are 4-0 against the San Diego Padres, which is hard to see, after sweeping them at PNC Park earlier this season and winning the first of a three-game series in San Diego last night, 8-4 the win. Things will have to change on the North Shore if these guys are going to stay. And if the Pirates and Ben Charrington truly believe that the team can compete in 2024, Keller and Bednar aren't going to go anywhere. And it's a major difference between listening and fielding offers for valuable players. It just doesn't seem likely that either of the two will go, partly because an extension with Keller seems more so likely to happen than a trade. But Carlos Santana, Rich Hill, G-Man Choi, hell, maybe Austin Hedges, and others will depart on the first day of August during the trade deadline. If you can get anything, but what can you get for Austin Hedges? Cash considerations, international bonus money. That's always a fun deal. But the top two arms on the Bucks are only on the move if the front office is blown away. And that's the only thing that you can do. If you get a Chris Archer-type package that you gave away, if you get that back in return for someone like Mitch Keller, who can be at the top of your rotation next year with Paul Skeens, that's why it doesn't make much sense, at least to me, to trade him away. If you truly think that Nick Gonzalez is your second baseman of the future, that Leova Peguero can be a solid infielder until O'Neill Cruz can come back, and then once O'Neill Cruz is the shortstop again, you can move him around the diamond, give a blow to Gonzalez and Cruz, maybe put Cruz a day at designated hitter and have Peguero play at short, have him move around the diamond a little bit, maybe a little bit at third, have Peguero maybe even try him out in the outfield for a couple of innings. How the Pirates moved Jiwon Bae off of second and short and played him out in center field, as Jiwon Bae has been nursing an injury throughout the rest of the year. If you truly believe that Jared Triolo can maybe play first, as he has been very solid at third base with Ke'Bryan Hayes out injured and rumors that he's not very happy in Pittsburgh. If you think Henry Davis can be maybe a solid catcher for you, the Pirates surely don't believe that he can be a catcher defensively at the current moment. But if he could be a right fielder that consistently hits with Andy Rodriguez behind the plate, you still need somebody to play at first base, and Andy Rodriguez has some experience there as well, and maybe even could teach Henry Davis to play first base. It's good to see Rodriguez being able to throw out runners, especially Ha-Seom Kim, somebody who's one of the fastest guys in the entire National League West, let alone the San Diego Padres organization. Then you got to feel a little bit hopeful. If Quinn Priester, who could not have had much of a worse start after his major league debut against the Guardians, allowing 7 runs and what ended up being a disastrous 6th inning, Fraser looked better. He looked solid. He ran into trouble more so later on in the game. He looked great. First inning, second inning, third inning, fourth inning. Priester looked like the type of guy that, yes, he does not throw 92, 93, but the movement that he had, the ability to work counts, the ability to get a couple strikeouts, I think he had four on the day, and just continuously work against a lineup with Ha-Seong Kim, who really got the best of him, with two hits and three at-bats, including a walk, three RBIs, and a home run. Fernando Tatis went 0-for-4. Juan Soto went 0-for-3 with a walk. Manny Machado went 1-for-4 on the day. Xander Bogaerts went 1-for-3. These are big-time major league hitters. Jake Cronenworth went 0-for-4 with a run scored. I mean, this is a fantastic San Diego Padres lineup that has just not been able to put it together. And the Pirates, with Rich Hill, will take the mound tonight opposite another big-time starting pitcher, Blake Snell. But the Pirates got to Yu Darvish. 4 1/3 innings, 7 earned runs, 3 walks. Yu Darvish allowed 4 home runs, 8 hits overall. His ERA is at 4.80. Yu Darvish at 4.80. It doesn't sound right with how great of a pitcher Yu Darvish typically is. But 2 home runs for Carlos Santana. Jack Sawinski homered to tie the game at the top of the third. He hit his 21st of the season, 380 feet. If you truly believe in these guys, if you believe in Jack Sawinski, the reason that you gave Ke Bryan Hayes a long-term contract, the reason that you gave Brian Reynolds a $100 million deal to sign him throughout the decade, to sign Ke Bryan Hayes throughout the decade, the reason that you're talking about a deal for Mitch Keller, maybe O'Neill Cruz will even be factored in later on at this point. And if they play well, Henry Davis, Andy Rodriguez, it's way too early right now for those guys. But why not start to consider it if they continue to play well and get them locked up like they did Brian Reynolds and Brian Hayes? But if not, for Carlos Santana, Rich Hill, G-Man Choi, Austin Hedges being traded, prepare for Keller to guide the rotation and Bednar to be back in the back end of the bullpen for another offseason, spring training, and 2024 opening day roster still to come. Ben Cherington would have to be blown away to make a deal. And he would get run out of town, frankly, if he made one of the two deals, because it would signal one significant thing. The rebuild was for naught. The Pirates have shown their hand, and they do not believe, if they make one of these trades, that they internally believe in themselves. That they internally believe, they think they can compete in 2024. That they can compete in 2025, as both of these guys are signed under contract, or at least are under team control. If the trade is made, if any of the trades are made, which, as John Heyman said, seems very unlikely, it would tip the hand that the Pirates don't think that they're as good as maybe they've projected, or maybe we think they are, or we think that they should be. The Wake Up Show is presented by 84 Lumber. Put your positive attitude to work at 84 Lumber. Apply at 84lumber.com. Coming up next on the Fan Early Morning Show, I saw something yesterday that really piqued my interest in the sporting news from Mike DeCourcy, who has been was in Pittsburgh for a long time, big-time basketball writer. But he wrote about his Pittsburgh sports Mount Rushmore. Now, I have some thoughts about it. I think generally, Mike got it right. We'll talk about it coming up next here. Fan Early Morning Show, 937 The Fan. It's the Fan Early Morning Show. I'm Austin Bechtold with you today. Something that caught my eye significantly yesterday. And, you know, it's the off season for the NFL, the NHL. The only thing that's going right now is Major League Baseball. Women's national team is playing in the World Cup. Always exciting. World Cup is always an exciting amount of soccer, at least for me, to be able to watch with everything just on the grand stage. It's just fantastic, at least for me, just to be able to watch the atmosphere, the environment, and the success that the United States women's national team has had in the past. But something else that I stumbled upon is the Sporting News' series of its own city's Mount Rushmore. And Mike DeCourcy, who's spent a lot of time in Pittsburgh, the national writer for the Sporting News, he put together Pittsburgh's GOAT Mountain of Sports. Pittsburgh's Mount Rushmore. They called it Goat Mountain, but it's basically the Mount Rushmore version of Pittsburgh sports. So the goal, the task, originally for the Sporting News was to go through the cities who all had four sports franchises. There are 13 four sports cities. And for overall, with three of the four falling leagues represented, there are nine from the NFL, the MLB, the NBA, and the NHL. And DeCourcy stated how, you know, Pittsburgh is not one of the cities that is all kind of glitz and glamour. It's not New York. It's not LA. It's not a place where you'll find superstars continuously hanging out and you'll be able to see them. But one thing that he noted is that on his overall Pittsburgh Goat Mountain, everybody on that mountain is recognizable with just one name. His picks: Roberto, Mario, Mean Joe, and Franco. Now, Mean Joe is two names, as you pointed out, but you get the point. Pittsburgh is just one of those cities where it is hard. It is hard to pick just four. Those four players: Franco Harris, Mean Joe Green, Roberto Clemente, Mario Lemieux. Essential to 15 championships and earned first ballot Hall of Fame inductions in their sports and were extraordinary in their community, charity, and humanitarian work. Roberto Clemente, the great one, the plane crash on New Year's Eve, one of the greatest Pirates of all time. He's 21, retired by the Pirates. He was an automatic inductee into Cooperstown, the Baseball Hall of Fame. They waived any waiting period necessary to get Franco, to get Roberto into the Hall of Fame. Franco is the other member of that list who is no longer with us, who went to Penn State, played fullback, was drafted by the Steelers in the first round, helped guide the team to four Super Bowls, and was one of the greatest humanitarians, one of the greatest men, one of the greatest representatives of the franchise off the field that you can find, and somebody that nobody, frankly, ever had a bad word to say about. Mario Lemieux, two Stanley Cups, back-to-back, 91-92, could have had a third in 93, and what many people regard as the best of that Penguins group with Jágr, and that entire team was stacked, loaded. We're going to try to win three cups in a row. Mario, the same guy who's battled cancer, came back, the same guy who retired, came back and helped ushered in a new generation with Sidney Crosby. Got a chance to play with Sid, took Sid under his wing, cared for Sid, young kid at the age that he was, into a new city with the responsibility of putting a franchise on his back. Mario helped to lighten the burden when Sid came into the city. And me, Joe Green. When he was drafted, he didn't want to be drafted by the Steelers. The Steelers were a dumpster fire. The Steelers were horrendous when Mean Joe Green was drafted. But with Chuck Knoll, and this is including no coaches, Chuck Knoll would be somebody who you would have to consider if coaches were a part of your argument. It's really up to debate. Are you keeping with just players or executives potentially on there? There's just so many people that you can put on this Mount Rushmore, this Goat Mountain, that Pittsburgh needs two. Pittsburgh has two inclines. Why not have two Goat Mountains? So the question really is, who would be on that second set of a Goat Mountain? At least for me, if you have Clemente, Mario Lemieux, Franco Harris, and Mean Joe Green on that first set. And I think Roberto Clemente, Mario, and Mean Joe are obvious for the, I'm obvious as the best players overall for their team during the time, and also for the franchise as we know it. You can argue Honus Wagner, but did anybody really see him play? There's no real video and really anything on Honus Wagner. We're just told how great he was, and I'm not denying or doubting how great that he truly was. But everybody knows the story of Roberto Clemente. Retire 21. Roberto Clemente Day, where 21 is worn across the league. The impact that he made on Latin American baseball players. The impact that he made in the Pittsburgh community. The amount of people who suffered and cried when he was in the plane crash. The stories of Tom Walker and Neil Walker and their connection to Clemente. So who would be on that second set of a Pittsburgh Goat Mountain, of a Pittsburgh Mount Rushmore? Sidney Crosby would have to be there for the Penguins. Crosby, 3 Stanley Cups, helped to save the franchise as well with Mario. Mario taking ownership of the team and keeping the Penguins in Pittsburgh. Sidney Crosby was able to usher in a new era when hockey was looking bleak again in Pittsburgh. Mario retired, came back. The team was still in a little bit of a turmoil, especially around 2000. But when Sidney Crosby was drafted, everything changed. 3 more Stanley Cups later, 4 trips to the Cup Final. Sidney Crosby, over 500 goals, one of the best players in NHL history. In no particular order, is definitely on that Goat Mountain. Now, where it gets tricky, you could put Hannes Wagner on there. You can think about putting Barry Bonds on there. I wouldn't, just because he never won a championship here. I would probably put a couple more Steelers on the list. And when you look at the overall discussion, what comes to mind? Quarterbacks. Terry Bradshaw, Ben Roethlisberger. I would put Bradshaw on that Mount Rushmore before I would put Ben. Frankly, because 4 rings are better than 2. 4 Super Bowl wins in 4 appearances is better than 2 and 3. So if you're looking at it, Sidney Crosby, as well as Terry Bradshaw, in my mind, make up 2 of those other selections. And let's put Hannes Wagner in there for what he meant to the game of baseball, being inducted in one of the first ever Hall of Fame classes in Major League Baseball, and just overall the type of player that he was, the Flying Dutchman for the Pirates, helped to put the Buccos on the map early on in the franchise's history. So there's your 3. And then once again, like putting Franco in as the 4 spot, it gets tricky. And I'm going to go with another Steeler. You could go with Chuck Knoll. If we're excluding head coaches, if we're excluding managers, general managers, I think Chuck Knoll has a great case, and I would probably put him on that Goat Mountain. And there are so many guys that you could potentially be still leaving out. Jaromir Jagr, Evgeny Malkin. If Andrew McCutchen would have won a championship, and I mean, he still has a chance to, he's still playing, then he could sneak his way on there as one of the last spots on the Goat Mountain. But I would go with, defensively, where the Steelers live and die. It's either Jack Lambert or Troy Polamalu for me. And it would honestly be a little bit of a tie. Jack Lambert was, for many, what Troy Polamalu is for me. The heart and soul of a defense, along with Mean Joe Green. The toughness that he put together on the field. When Jack Lambert came to hit you, you knew you were going to feel it. He's one of the toughest competitors, one of the fiercest men and challengers on the football field of any. And Troy Polamalu was the guy who would say a prayer before every play. Somebody who was one of the greatest safeties of all time, if not the best, who came out of nowhere with his instincts that just automatically knew what was going to happen on plays. It was unbelievable growing up in seeing Troy Polamalu. That's a word that, you know, I don't throw around lightly. Are things truly unbelievable? Troy Polamalu, in my mind, is a player who was as close to unbelievable as you can get. The way that he played the game and just automatically knew everything, where to be, what to do, it was so impressive. So Roberto, Mario, Franco, Mean Joe, the picks from Mike DeCourcy is the Goat Mountain for Pittsburgh sports. How about Hannes Wagner, Sidney Crosby, Terry Bradshaw, and then make it 4A, 4B, in no particular order, Jack Lambert, Troy Polamalu. As the Pittsburgh Goat Mountain Part 2, because there's 2 inclines, and hey, there's that one icy light beer sign up on Mount Washington. If you made it 2 Goat Mountains for the city of Pittsburgh, that would be my 4, technically 5. who will qualify. I'm Austin Bechtold, Fan Early Morning Show. The pre-show is next. Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.